This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
It is 1944. Dog Company, the boys at Pointe du Oc, the Rangers who accomplished D-Day's toughest mission and led the way across Europe. I welcome the author, Patrick K. O'Donnell. We go immediately to London. It's early 1944. Lieutenant Colonel James Earl Rutter and his executive officer, Major Max F. Schneider, are reporting to Omar Bradley's office in London. They get off the train at Paddington Station and walk over and are introduced through a Colonel Truman Thorson to a mission labeled Top Secret. Patrick, congratulations, and this story remains vivid more than 10 years after you first published. And I welcome your return here to talk about the details. All these men of the Rangers are gone now, to my understanding, and yet the scale of this challenge in D-Day and then afterwards across France, across Belgium into Germany, defies easy encapsulation. So we tell the story from Top Secret. What was the mission that Rutter and Schneider met that day? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's great to be back. And this, for me, is a sacred story. I've written many books on World War II, seven in all, focusing on the elite units. And these men were my friends, many of the men of Dog Company. I got to know them. My daughter grew up with these uncles of World War II, the great heroes of D-Day. And, you know, for me, it was a very special thing to be able to tell their story. And I had known them. I interviewed them in the 90s and the 2000s for a long, you know, I've known them for a long time. And their story that was being discussed there in that office was the most dangerous mission of D-Day. They had to take out six large guns that could either be pointed at Omaha Beach or Utah Beach or at the invasion itself. And they had to be taken out at all costs. And the challenge was that they would have to scale a 90-foot cliff straight up. They would be going right into the teeth of German defenses in a frontal assault to scale these sheer 90-foot cliffs under direct machine gun fire, artillery fire, mortar fire, and even suspended IEDs that were hanging on the cliff from old French artillery shells that the Germans could detonate. And when they got there, they were just aghast that this was their mission. And one of the men remarked that somebody with a broom could literally sweep them off the top of that cliff as they were trying to climb it.
Where the Rangers come from? They've been training since 1943. What was the concept that the U.S. Army proposed to train the second Ranger Battalion, the first Ranger Battalion, the Rangers in total? What did they want them for, Patrick?
John, this is in 1941. If we could step back, the United States Army did not have special operations units at all. And this is a concept that was foreign to us. We had pretty much conventional military. And there was a real thinking within the Army that this would be bleeding off good men for the regular combat units. So overnight, America had to develop special operations units. And that was led, the main force of that was the Office of Strategic Services. This is Wild Bill's group, Donovan's group. They have a special operations branch, and they begin to pioneer things. And then several branches of the special operations tree for America. There's the Rangers, and this has a tradition in America that stretches back to Roberts Rangers and even before. And then you have Mosby's Rangers, but there's also British Commandos. And Colonel Truscott was given the task of coming up with a name, and he said, you know, Eisenhower said anything but Commando. And the word Ranger has a very important role in American history. And we have a very proud tradition of irregular warfare in America. And the name Ranger was used. And we have first Darby's Rangers, which begins in 1942. The 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 4th Ranger Battalions have quite a storied history in North Africa, beginning with landings in Sicily and then also moving up the boot into Italy. The Rangers, Darby's Rangers, suffer incredible losses at the Pantino Ditch in Anzio, where they are nearly surrounded and annihilated by the Hermann Göring Division. Few Rangers survive. You know, it's a massive casualties. They fight to the death in many cases. And it's an incredible story that I tell in my book, Beyond Valor, where I interviewed some of these Rangers for the first time on Anzio. But the Ranger concept moves forward, and they bring out the 2nd Ranger Battalion, and which is the focus of Dog Company, my book, and the 5th Ranger Battalion. And Max Schneider, who's with Rutter at this meeting, was an officer with Darby's Rangers. He has combat experience, and he's really quite a remarkable individual in and of himself, but he has some very serious injuries from landings in Sicily and in Italy, and PTSD, arguably, and it's questionable whether or not he can make it. And Eisenhower himself literally intercedes to make sure that Max Schneider is there on that mission, even though he wants to go home because he's suffering very seriously from his injuries.
The mission is laid out to them. Their 1st and 2nd and 3rd response is impossible. The Rangers have arrived in Britain, Great Britain, late in the year of 43. They sailed on the Queen Elizabeth. I was struck by the fact that the Queen Elizabeth sailed without escort. So they veered back and forth across the North Atlantic. Of course, the wolf packs were very thick at that point, and the only protection they had was the QE thought it could outrun any German submarines. Of course, that doesn't say it could outrun a German submarine in front of it. But in any event, they are training for this mission. The men of the 2nd Ranger Battalion and the companies A through F, we're going to concentrate on Dog Company, and several individuals, very vivid throughout the fight, who survive all of these missions. And Patrick speaks with them towards the end of their lives. Having lived full lives, they reflect on these events with sharp memories that Patrick compares to the after-action reports. In the training, Patrick, because they're climbing what cliffs they can find, and they're climbing them at speed, there's a photograph that appears on the front of Patrick's book that shows one of the training missions charging across and going up the scale. What did they believe of their prospects in training for it, climbing day after day? Did they adjust their tactics in any fashion?
This is really, in many ways, remarkable training, John. These men conducted their training under live fire, and actual rounds were being fired in the distance. In this picture, you can actually see rounds that were going off, and there were casualties from the live fire. But for several months, these men would climb any cliff they could find. And they were 500 feet high, in some cases 400 feet high. And these guys were climbing the cliffs without safety harnesses, just ropes. And there were several instances where the Rangers literally fell off the cliff. And one remarkable story is a guy by the name of Rondeau falls off a cliff that's 200 feet high but lands in soft sand and just miraculously survives. But on top of the cliff, the Ranger officers were using their M1 Grands and literally firing down on the Rangers, obviously missing them. But they wanted to give their men the real feel and sensation of what it was like to go through, actual bullets flying as they were climbing up these cliffs. And the training was extremely rigorous and very realistic and very demanding. And these men were ready when they were there on D-Day.
Let's go to D-Day. It's the 6th of June, suddenly, with Patrick K. O'Donnell, The book is Dog Company, The Boys of Pointe du Hoc, The Rangers Who Accomplished D-Day's Toughest Mission and Led the Way Across Europe. I'm John Batchelor.